Go ahead and grab out your Bible and something to take some notes with today. We are continuing in our summer series. We call it Summer at Victory. And honestly, I told you last week, this is not a, if you watch this series from like episode one all the way to the end, this is not like there's some story arc and like normal series that we do. There's no like opening question and then theme verse and we get to the end. This is more a collection of ideas throughout the summer where I found where they don't need an entire series to themselves, but honestly, we need to take a Sunday and at least talk about them. That's the idea behind the Summer of Victory. Some of the things that I've touched on in other series that I feel like we should come back full circle and answer the question, or some things that maybe we're given a little bit of time, but really deserve an entire Sunday on them. And so today is one of those things. Last week, I told you, we talked about our perspective of God. We had to get our spiritual relationship with God right. We had to get the way that we view him right. Not that he changes, but honestly, I think our perspective of him. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. But last week, he talked about how Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And so then we talked about the ramifications that that makes all of us sheep. And so I insulted you pretty good last week. You can go watch it if you missed it. Watch it online. Today, I want to dive into an idea that I've skirted the edges of during series this last year, but I think we need to address it head on. We've kind of touched on it just a little bit, and it deals with the truth that most of us know intellectually, but few of us live practically. Now, that is a lot of Christianity, and if you give me 85 summers, we'll get through all of them, but it's an idea that we know intellectually in our minds, but we don't quite live out practically, and that is the truth that no matter how hard you try, and some of you have tried really, really hard, and I have tried really, no matter how hard you try, you can never, ever please everybody. Now, some of you have never amen me in your life, and right now you're like, preach, brother, that's good, that's what I think. Most of us intellectually, we know this is true. I'm not going to like insult you, I'm like, you've never had this idea before, you're just running around trying to, but most of us know it's true. But few of us ever actually live it out. Because if you have an opportunity to interact with more than like five people in your lifetime, you know you cannot please everybody. Like you get to that fifth person and you have, I don't care how good a person you are, I don't care how nice a person you are, you get to person number five and somebody's upset with you. Somebody doesn't like you, somebody, in fact, I had a chance to talk with a buddy of mine who owns a business here in town. And if you ever get a chance to talk to somebody, especially if they have a storefront, just if they own a business, a storefront, man, the stories they will tell you, he's just talking through the different customers that come in. And he made a statement to me. He was like, look, it does not matter how good you are. Somebody will hate your ever living guts. Come on, somebody. Like, it does not matter how good your customer service is. It does not matter. Somebody's always unhappy. Doesn't matter if you bend over backwards. It does not matter if you are the nicest person. It doesn't matter if you give everything away for free. They will complain you did not give it away fast enough. Come on, somebody. Like, you did not. You can never, ever please everyone. And I kept thinking later that night after I talked to him, but somehow we all still try. Like, we know it in our brains that we cannot please everybody, but somehow we keep trying. Even as a pastor, I am not immune from this because I am a regular person. And in reality, come on, somebody, like, I want people to like me. That is a thing. I enjoy when people like me more than when they don't. Come on. So we're just spitting truth this morning. And so the pressure I feel, whether it's real or imagined, like the idea of if I do a good job, you'll come back. If I don't do a good job, you won't. And so this pressure, right? There's this idea, or if I talk really nicely in this conversation, then you'll like me. But if I don't, and we have this in every avenue of life. And if you're like me, you understand this truth. We cannot please everybody. But it's amazing to me how the devil will take a truth and he'll turn it into something that would actually hurt us. So we can recognize the truth. You cannot please everybody. But the devil will twist this into a way that actually keeps us from what God has for us. And so you may say, well, I can't please everybody, so I better work really hard to please as many people as I can. You might have that mentality. Or for you, I'd say, well, I can't please everybody, so I need to pick the important people and make sure that I please them. Because if I don't, then I am a complete failure. The truth is, you are not designed to please everyone. You're not designed to please everyone. So say this out loud with me. Say, I cannot please everyone. That's amazing. Enough of you. That pleases me that you guys all put in the thing. I cannot please everyone. Say, I cannot please everyone, but I can please God. can't please everybody. But the flip side of that sentence is not, but I can please as many people as I possibly can. And the flip side is not, but I can please the people who are most important to me. No, the flip side is, but I can please God. You want to talk about the way we're designed and what we're actually created to do. It's not to run around like chickens with our head cut off, trying to please as many people as we possibly can. It's not even to pick the most important people and try to make sure that we please them. We are created, we are designed to please God. And so I can't please everybody. And so I want to talk to you today a little bit about that fact of running from the approval of people and living for an audience of one. Living for the approval of our Heavenly Father. And so we're going to pick up a story. It's out of the book of Galatians, but Paul is actually headed to this place of Galatia. He's actually going into Galatia by his letter. And if you know the story, he's going in to fix a massive problem. Because like he realizes there are people there with a misunderstanding of what it means to know God, what it means to be right with God. Some people are telling them, well, you have to be right with God, you have to have circumcision. And some of them are like, well, no, to be right with God, you have to follow the law. And then a new group is like, no, you have to do both. And then the people coming behind them are like, you have to do neither. And so it's a big mess in Galatia. And so Paul comes in and he preaches this like controversial gospel. Of it is through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone that we are saved. Nothing else, nothing added, nothing taken away. It is faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. But you remember, Paul comes in to straighten out the mess. And he preaches this controversial, bold message. And what he realizes, as soon as he says it, there is this large group that hate his ever-living guts. That are suddenly like, no, that's not what we think. That's not what we believe. There's this incredible, this huge group that gets so angry with Paul. And like overnight, he sees his approval rating plummet. Like overnight, his numbers in the polls and all the different publications just like goes through the floor. And Paul realizes, like, because this is an election year and they are voting for the apostles. That if he does not, he realizes something has to change or he won't get voted in at the next council. And so what he does is he changes his message for one group and he softens what he says for another group. And he does, if you are still following with me, shame on you. That's not what he does. That's about as far from the truth as you can possibly. What does Paul do? Paul goes in and he preaches even louder, faith through Christ and Christ alone. And this huge group that's mad at him for whatever it is, Paul's like, I don't care about them. In fact, we'll read it in just a second. Paul's like, in fact, Paul in nicer language than I would, but Paul's like, forget all of those people. Forget all of that. Forget my approval rating. Forget what actually preaches to a crowd. Forget what brings the numbers. I'm going to preach truth and truth alone. That's the faith through Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not what he did. He didn't try to pacify. He didn't try to compromise. And yet it's what we do. It's not what Paul did. Paul obviously gives us an example. It's not what Jesus did. It's not what Peter did. But we all the time try to please everyone. Paul does, he comes in boldly. He's like, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. And there's a bunch of people who are like, we hate that message. And we're going to do everything we can, not only knock you out of a minute. It wasn't like they're like, let's just vote him out. They were like, let's kill him. And Paul preaches it even more boldly. And so before he even tears into them, you can go read it, Galatians 3. Before he like just tears them apart, he makes this statement in Galatians chapter 1. And I love this. I hope this is a rallying cry for us as Christians. Watch this. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he says this, Paul. And I love the way he says it. He says, obviously, love, he starts with this word. Obviously, I am not trying to what? Help me out here. To win the approval of people. Obviously, Paul's like, clearly, that is not my goal. You ever done anything and someone like comes to you like, why did you do that? You're like, clearly, it was not to make people like me. Like, let's just get that one out of the way right now. Like, obviously, that's not why I did it. Paul is saying, I obviously am not trying to win the approval of people. But of who? Of God. If pleasing people was my goal, if my goal were to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. If that was the goal, if that was the aim to please everyone, to do everything, I would not be Christ's servant. If I was always trying to please people, then it would take my eyes off of pleasing Christ. Jot it down if you're taking notes today. The quickest way to forget about pleasing God is to try to please people. The fastest way you can forget about it, the fastest way is to try to please people. Pleasing people, it's the fastest way to forget about pleasing God. It's the fastest way. And so too often times, though, we still do it. So say it with me again. I cannot please everyone, but I can please God. Are you a people pleaser? That's my question for you today. No show of hands. Come on, somebody. We're just going to have, I'll have show of hands in just a moment, but not right at the bit. Are you driven? Is the motor of your life pleasing people? Because I have been in too many seasons of my life. I will just have confession time all day. I have too many seasons of my life driven by what people think. And so I thought, just to help us unpack this, I'd give you some characteristics of people pleasers. If you're taking notes, first one is this. People pleasers tend to internalize criticism irrationally. We tend to take what people think about this. Someone criticizes you. You're like, you're criticizing me right now, Pastor. And it hurts deep inside. We tend to take this and internalize it so deeply. And for me, this was true for years. I could have 10 people say, Ben, you did a great job. Ben, that was really good what you did. Ben, this is an awesome thing. And one person be like, you know, I didn't like such and such. And I would go away thinking, I am a total failure. That one person would stick out. I would remember what they said over 1,000 people who would say an encouraging word. But they just don't know. The person who criticized, they must really know. We internalize. Anybody today, you would just, let's be honest today. Anybody would say this is you. I internalize criticism. Yeah, a few of us around here would say that. I internalize it too much. How many of you would be this next one? Another characteristic of people pleasers. They live with a constant fear of rejection. And so this constant idea of I'm spinning the plates and I can't possibly say what I mean or what I want to say because I need you. Please like me. Please like me. Please don't reject me. And we won't say this. We left that behind in middle school. Come on, somebody. But we will act like it as adults. I'll do whatever it takes so I won't be rejected. How many would say in a moment of honesty, that's me in that one? Third characteristics, a difficulty to express a true opinion. I want to tell you what I think, but I'm upset that you might not like me, or I'm afraid that you might get your feelings hurt, and so I won't express a true opinion. I won't say because I'm afraid that that group might reject me, or I'm afraid that they might not like what I say, and so I can't express what I actually think. How many of you would say, that's me, I can't express? Now, there are more of you, but you're afraid to express what you think. Come on, somebody. Last one, a fourth characteristics of people pleasers. They'd be people with an inability to say no. Not able to say no to things. Just right now, raise your hand if this is you. Come on. You can't say no. You tend to overcommit. You tend to overgive your life because you want to please everybody around you. You know it's not possible. You know you can't do it, and yet you sign up for everything because you want to please people. You even know it's not possible to please all the people, and you still do it. Now, I'm not making fun. I have lived every single one of these, so I'm not pointing any fingers up here. I am living through these. I'm just saying these are characteristics we should watch for because it means we have given our life to pleasing people. And honestly, this other one, if you tend to overcommit like I do, chances are you have gone through a season or right now you are in this place where you will overcommit and you are outwardly agreeable to it, but you are inwardly resentful of every single person that is taking of your time and ability. Come on, somebody. Like, we smile on the outside, but you are inwardly like grunting, like, hey, can you be here? Oh, absolutely. Praise God, bro. I'm going to be right there with it. And inside you're like, well, they asked me again. I'm going to do something. Come on, my son. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I'll be there. I will do what you need. And inside you're like, man, they call themselves Christian. Going to come and do this. You ever been invited to, like, move somebody? And you show up and you see this. And you're like, where is the army of people that's going to help us move this? And like, no, it's just you. Come on. So glad you came. Everybody else said no. I don't know. So let me know when it's done. I'll see you in this. You ever been outwardly agreeable, inwardly resentful? I had a buddy in college, and both of us owned trucks. Come on, somebody. Now, if you have ever owned a truck and people know about it, you know what I'm about to say. Like, you are a target. Those of you without trucks, you're like, what's he talking about? People with trucks are like, amen, brother. That speaks to me more than anything spiritual. You are on everybody's call list. For every time, you are moving like beds and fridges and grand pianos. I don't know what it is. You have a special part of your back that knows you own a truck. That's just truth right there. You ever been on that? So a buddy of mine in college and I, we both owned trucks. And so it was insane. Like, people knew and they would call. We had people calling. I didn't even know them. And I'd get a phone call. Numbers we didn't even recognize. They'd be like, you're going to be there at 6? And I'm like, who is this? We got put on every list, every organization, every call. Now, most of the time we would do it because it was college and there was free food involved. Come on, somebody. And so I was a people pleaser when food was involved. That was my way to do it. So we're in our apartment one time, and I remember my buddy's on the phone, and I'm on the couch just kind of laughing because he's saying the things that we always say. He's just like, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, whatever, 6 a.m. One of the groups needed to haul like a grill and some supplies and whatever else across campus for an event they're doing. And so he's like, yeah, you know, I'll do it. No problem. I'll be there. Sounds good. He ends the call. He looks up at us, and he was like, it never ends. This group, they got me hauling their trash across campus for some stupid event that nobody wants to go to just because I have a truck. And right about that time, he looked down and realized he had not ended the call. Come on, somebody. We were outwardly agreeable, inwardly resentful. Some of you are like, I need to try that trick. I'm gonna next time, just accidentally don't end the call and then say exactly what you, it'll set you free. Come on, somebody. We were people pleasers. But see, the problem is a lot of us have gotten addicted to being people pleasers. We've let this thing like take over our lives. And I would just remind you, trying to please people is the fastest way to forget about trying to please God. It's the fastest way I know. So what are we going to do? Two simple points I want to make today. And I pray the truth of God would help us set aside the applause of people. It's not going to be by what I say. It's the truth of God's word. It's our relationship with him that we would set aside the applause of people. Point number one, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Very important. Number one, people pleasing is a form of idolatry. Let's just jump in the deep end right here. Come on, somebody. It's summer. Let's have some good points. It's a form. This is a harsh day. Like, I recognize when I say this, how harsh this is. But it is incredibly true. People pleasing is, it's like our modern day form of idolatry. God says, you'll have no other gods before me. But when we surrender our lives to the opinions of people, we have set them in the place that only God should fill. We have put their opinions higher than the opinion God has of us. I care more about what you think than what God thinks. It's idolatry. In fact, I think I would consider people pleasing more of a spiritual issue than a relational issue, if that makes sense. I would see it more as a spiritual problem. It's idolatry. You see a great example in the New Testament. We'll turn over to John. Some of the leaders in the community of the New Testament, they believe in Jesus. You see this amazing moment. I love that John records this. They believed in Christ. Watch this in John 12. It says, at the same time, many of the believers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith. Watch this. Not because they just didn't feel like they were worthy enough. Not because they didn't. Watch the reason they wouldn't go public with their faith. For fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved what? They loved human praise more than praise from God. Not something we'll ever say, but I promise you by the way that we live, this is our verse. They love human praise more than the praise from God. Idolatry. Idolatry. We love people's praise. We like people to like us more than we live in a way that God wants us to live. And it's become idolatry. Now, again, I point no fingers. These are seasons of my life where I would never say it with my mouth. But the way that I act, the way that I live would say that this is more my verse than any other. It's idolatry. And we fall into the trap where it has consumed way too much of our lives. It has robbed us of too many weeks and too much strength. It has robbed us of too many opportunities that we will not take a hold of or we will not live out because we fall into the trap. You say, what trap? Let's look at Proverbs. I want to highlight a couple of these that we find ourselves in. I'm going to do it before the pollen completely takes over my throat. Come on, somebody. So Proverbs chapter 29, it says, fear of man will prove to be a what? A snare. Watch this. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Fear of man, not fear, fear of all these others. Fear of men will be a snare. Fear of what they're going to do. Fear of what they're going to say. Fear of how they're going to treat us. Fear of if we'll be rejected. Fear of men becomes this trap. The word there is mokesh. It's a Hebrew word there. It means a snare. Honestly, it means like a noose for animals. This idea. Think about that in your mind. A noose, or honestly, maybe we'll go a little further. It's a hook in the nose of an animal that can lead it anywhere it wants to. The fear of man, the fear of what they're going to say, the fear of trying to be a people pleaser all of the time becomes a hook in the nose. So then it becomes a, hey, will you do this for me? Of course, we become led around. Hey, will you be here for me? Of course, I'll come and do that. Hey, would you compromise? Of course, because we have the hook so deep and we don't even see it. But it's what's leading us. It's what's dragging us around. And so we'll compromise. We'll live lives we're not supposed to live. We'll spend money. We'll spend money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. Come on, to buy things we don't even need. That's the way we will live our lives. Because the hook has gotten so deep. And we're being led around. And then you say, well, why? Because I've got this hook in my nose. And it's leading me in places I never thought I would go. Hey, do you like me? Hey, do I fit in? Hey, will you accept me? It's a mokesh. We got to be set free. It's a trap that will drag you around for your entire life. Two of the traps our enemy will lure us into. You say, which traps? The first one, I just want to call the trap of compromise. You jot it down if you're taking extra notes today. This idea of I'll compromise for you because I'm in this trap. Now, we all know the stereotypical one, right? Like a relationship, a boy and a girl, or boys putting pressure on, or the girl is, if you really love me, then you would do this. If you really love me, then we would cross this line. If you really love me, trap. And so you say, well, I'll compromise for you. Or you're at work or at school and someone tells the joke that goes, crosses 85 different lines. But you'll laugh anyway because you don't want to be like seen as the only religious fruitcake. And so you're like, well, I got to laugh at that, or I got to, and we'll compromise. Well, compromise. Or you're not doing really well at your job and, you know, a deadline is creeping up and your boss has tried to schedule 8 meetings and you put them off, but like now you have to have the meeting and he's counting on you to put the deal through. And so you lie a little bit or you cheat a little bit or you fudge the numbers, just you massage them just a little bit to make them fit because you need him to like you or you need that promotion or you need that step. And so you compromise. What have you done? You've taken the approval of people. And you've compromised so that you can attain it, and you've given up on what God has called you to do. It's a trap of compromise. It's a snare. It's a hook in the nose. And so we compromise caring more about what others think than about how God has called us to live. The second one, jot it down if you're taking notes, would be the trap of commitment. I care so much about what you think that I'm going to do more than I should. I'm going to say yes tomorrow because I need you to think highly of me. Can you do this? Well, yes. Can you go here? Well, yeah, I can do that. And I would argue just the pressure that normal society puts on us, the expectation just of normality, the pace that we're called or we're asked to live at is insane. Now, I have beat this drum, I think, for a year solid now. But the idea that the pace that we are expected to live at is insanity. And yet we fall into the trap of commitment. So we'll say yes to this. We'll say yes to that. We'll say yes to everything. How overcommitted, overstretched, under-resourced we are that people have little time for their families, much less for God in this pace that we're living. But we've fallen in the trap. It's a hook in the nose that can lead us anywhere we want. And we've got to do this and we've got to be here and we need to do that because we don't want to let anybody down. It's overcommitment. It's idolatry that we've given ourselves to the approval of people. So what's the answer? What's like the cure for it? Because for me, I'll tell you right now, this is an ongoing challenge. This isn't like I have this solved and you should all listen to me coming down the mountain. It really is as a pastor. Like I want to serve you. I want to love you in the best ways I can. I want to serve you. I want you to like me. I don't like angry emails. Come on, somebody. It's not like I'm like, whoo, I can't see you. Can't wait to see what people say this week. I don't like angry phone calls. I don't like hateful church surveys. Now, that should be an oxymoron, but it's not, everybody. I don't like when people are upset or angry or that. I don't. I want to be liked, but the only way I can effectively do what God has called me to do is not to live to please people, but instead live to please God. The only way that we can do. So here's the answer. Number one, people pleasing is a form of idolatry. Number two, here's the answer. The fear of God is the best cure for the fear of people. The fear of God, it's that simple. And this one statement, honestly, I think can be life-changing for some of you. Some of you are going to like dismiss. You got your life world on your brain. You're going on vacation. You're thinking. Some of you are going to kind of just toss this one out. But I think for some of you, this could be a life-changing moment. That the fear of God is the fastest way to eliminate the fear of people. It is the cure for the fear of people. The best cure I know. In fact, if you would say, well, I am kind of a people pleaser, Pastor. If we could have just a one-on-one, you're like, hey, I do see some errors of my life. I would lovingly say to you, as lovingly as I can, but as truthfully as I can, people are too big in your life and you've made God too small. If you say that, and again, I say this with all the love I could possibly surround it with, but I have to be truthful with you. If you say, I am a people pleaser, then people have grown too large in your life and you've made God too small. The opinions of people have become too important and you've made the opinion of God in too less of a place. You've made the opinion too small. Here's what scripture says, Psalms 34. Watch this. It says, fear the Lord, you his godly people. And one of the translations says, let the Lord's people show him reverence. Godly people, if you are following him, fear him. Show him reverence. Give him the awe that he deserves. Remember the other verse said that the fear of man is the quickest way to stick a hook right in your nose. But watch this. Watch what happens. The fear of God. The fear of the Lord is godly people. For those who fear him, well, watch this, will have all that they need. When you reverence God. Yeah, you can clap for that. All six of us who like that. Come on, somebody. We just got to. I lied. All 12 of us. That's what it was. All 12. Fear the Lord. For those who fear him, watch what happens. It's not a hook in the nose. Watch what happens. For those who fear him will have all that they need. When you reverence God, when God becomes big, when you honor God, when he is first, then you don't need the approval of people. It's not like it's suddenly like, well, you just can't fill that bucket anymore. That bucket ceases to exist. You don't need the approval of people. When you live for God's approval, it will be all that you need. When you live from a quiet confidence, knowing that I can't please everybody, but I can please God, the way that you live changes. You begin to see in every area of life. Instead, when God becomes so big to you, suddenly the grip of people loosens itself. It's not like, well, suddenly you just deal with the grip. The grip ceases to exist. It loosens and let go because people will try to say, and you're like, no, that's not going to slow me down because I know that my God is pleased with me and I'm living for his approval. Or people say, well, can you come fall in this trap of compromise? No. I don't have to compromise anymore because I know that I please my God and his approval is what I live from. I live from a confidence in knowing I'm doing what God has called me to do. And so when God says to do something, doesn't matter if everybody else disagrees, doesn't matter if everybody else hates your stinking guts. I know that I'm living for the approval of God. And so the grip of people no longer has it. And so I'm going to live for God, whether they like it or not. Why? Because God is big. And I've given him the fear and the holiness that he deserves in my life. Not that God changes, but my perspective of him. That the opinion of people begins to shrink. And so if God has called me to live differently. And listen, I promise when you live for God, you will live different. Because normal is rarely godly. Normality is rarely, if God calls us to take a faith risk, even if everybody else disagrees, we're not living for them. We're not living for their approval. We'll do what God has called us to do. I don't know how else to say this, but we need to be set free. If you've gotten the image in your mind, it's chains, it's a hook, it's a trap, it's a snare. It's a noose. And we need to be set free. Because chances are so many things about our life that would be drastically different if we live not for the approval of people, but the approval of God. The Bible says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be who God created you to be. You don't have to dress like them, talk like them, act like them. You don't have to do all these things trying to gain people's approval. Honestly, if you live like everybody else, you are not following Christ. Because society's standards, what it expects of you is so self-focused and materialistic that it has no congruity. It has no way of measuring up to what God has called us to live. It is a disease to please, and you have to be set free from it. You have to be set free from it. Even in the church world today, the message of, well, what message would please the people or what thing? No. What would please God? What would please him? Not what's going to make the pastor happy. Not what's going to outwardly make all the Christians assume that you're a Christian. Not the things that would just fake it until you make it. Not all the things that we think we need to please all the people around you. Who cares what my opinion is? I've had people who, when they get in a conversation with me, they have to act the right way, talk the right way, do, because they need the pastor to think they're holy. But the rest of the people, who cares what my opinion is? But we care so much. We've given so much of our lives, and I just tell you, it has to stop. We've lost so many seasons. We've lost so many opportunities. Living lives that people, we want to please others. No. What would please God? That we would live our lives living for His opinion, His audience, His applause. And we let God set us free from the opinions of people. Bow your heads. Let's pray together today. Father, do something deep inside of us. God, I just pray for freedom right now. God, set us free from the chains of the opinions of others. God, if we have lived lives as people pleasers, God, right now we repent. God, we know it's idolatry. We have set their opinions higher than yours. And God, right now we repent. Set us free. Lord, even in this moment, I don't care what the person on our left, I don't care what the person on our right, God, we're not doing this as a show to impress people. Who cares what others think? God, we do it to, Father, just to please you. So do something deep inside us. Set us free. Right now, as you're praying, some of you are realizing, Maybe for the first time you're being honest with yourself, but some of you are realizing in this moment that you have been living for the approval of others. And I want to pray that you be set free. Before we do that, though, there are some of you who are here maybe for the first time and you're saying, I want to live for God. Like, I'm not even to the place where I'm choosing between the two. Like, today I want to make a decision to give my life to Him. And you're hearing this message and you're finally realizing that faith in God, that repentance and salvation is faith in Jesus alone. It's not doing things so people will like you. It's not trying to seem holy so the church will accept you. That's not what faith in God is. Repentance and salvation, it's through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. So right now, maybe for the first time, you're saying, hey, I want to do that. I want to follow Jesus. You're watching online, you're here in the room, you're saying, hey, I want that to be my life. I want to follow Him, but you're saying, but I don't know what people might think of me. If I make that decision, I don't know if people will think I'm become some fanatic or I'm some Bible thumper. I don't know. Let me ask you a question. Who cares what they think? Who cares what they'll think? It's not important. It holds no weight in the light of eternity. But right now, you have an opportunity to make a choice to follow the only one who actually matters, Jesus. To begin a life that lives from a confidence of His approval, not the approval of others, but right now you have a chance to repent and to give your life to Him. If you say that's me right now, I want to pray with you. Listen to me, it's a prayer of repentance, it's a prayer of submission to Him, it's a prayer that says, I don't care about the other opinions of this world, I want to live for Jesus and Jesus alone. And it's our honor as a church to pray this with every single person. Right now, this is a decision that you make. I don't care what the person on the left, I don't care what the person on the right. In fact, usually I say, I don't want to make you raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you. Today I want to say, I don't want to make you raise your hand because I don't want you to make this a performance. I don't want you to feel like you have to do this because you have pressure from the person on your left or the person on your right. I don't want you to even feel like you have to do this because it's the church thing to do. Right now, you get to make a decision about your future. A decision about who you're going to follow. And so right now, it would be our honor to pray with you. You can pray right where you are. Pray right there in your heart. We would pray this with you. Say these words with me. And come on, church. Nobody prays alone. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sin, of all my mistakes. I repent. I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you rose again, and I make you the Lord of my life in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you that you have set us free. Father, that we can live not for the applause of people, Father, but we would live for your approval. That we would not live for the applause or the approval of anybody else, but we would live for the approval of heaven. That you would look at us and say, well done. That you would see the way that we live and you would say, well done. The way that we love others and you would say, well done. That we would so eradicate from our lives any chain, any snare, any trap, any hook, any noose, that you would set us free. We would never again be known as people pleasers, but that we live for the approval of our Father in heaven. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, church, can we give him praise for what he's done today?